Yeah.
Like in every shop?
Yeah.
Like all of them. So sometimes it has to be super hard.
was looking at David's best bowling league so that you could see if I helped prepare for the Monday Thursday service. On Friday, we will have Good Friday services at 12 noon and at 7 p.m. They invite you to come to the Good Friday service. And then on Saturday, we have our Easter egg hunt in the park right behind us. Last year, Pastor Tracy, we had around 400 friends. Yes, amen. Way wrong. So bring all those friends that you can muster up, bring them over here to the park, let us have a good time sharing Easter spirit with the kids and joining in that party. And then on Sunday, obviously, we will celebrate Resurrection Sunday. But before we get to that great news, friends, please come to the services this week. Or if you can't make it here, family, please go somewhere and to participate in a worship experience through this Holy Week as we journey the steps of Jesus. Today, friends, is our great day of service. In addition to Palm Sunday, we're going to be carrying out these few questions. And we're going to serve 30,000 meals. Going to pack 30,000 meals today. Amen. You'll hear more about that at the end of the service. And now I'd like Pastor Teresa and Pastor Ginger to come forward.
Good morning, church. It is my privilege today before sharing with you some announcements and good news to welcome into our midst our bishop for the Baltimore Washington Annual Conference, Bishop Marcus Matthews, and his wife, Barbara Matthews, are with us today. We would invite you to stand so that we might tell you how happy we are you are here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Friends, we're asking for special prayers this week also for sharing gospel. We're also happy to mention and to celebrate along with Steve and Mary Lynn Klein on the birth of their granddaughter, Clementine. She was born on yesterday. Friends, we're asking for special prayers for Clementine. She came into this world in 28 weeks. And so she needs our continued prayers. Amen. As we wave our palms, you are invited to come and to make your petitions known unto God. We will have a prayer, and then you are invited to join in singing hymn 270, the Lord's Prayer. Let us bring an attitude and a spirit of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. And on this day, God, we wave our palms and we say, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. You are our Lord and our Savior. God, we pray the blessings upon this worship. As we join with millions and millions of Christians all around the world, marking this day, the day that Jesus made in his coming according to the name of Jerusalem. And people were waiting in their cross, God, and a lot of things were happening. God, Jesus knew what was going to take place at the end of the day. And then we remember the story that happened.
Thank you.
arrested and killed by the state. Humility to stand up to the power players and the Roman military. Jesus would find is a nation whose economy is absolutely dependent upon our military-industrial complex, whose value system places money and power at the very top, and who has made violence a cash crop, whose commitment is to the bottom line at the cost of the planet, healthy relationships, and long-established communities. Jesus would find entrenched systems of racially motivated violence and injustice, and a society in which the poorer you are, the more things cost. I could add to this list, and Lord knows you could too. Just imagine what Jesus would add to this list. Jesus, the one who sees from every side, has eyes to see and ears to hear what will never go. Friends, I don't claim to have answers for how to address the deep and wide disconnect in our society between the vision of God's kingdom and our current reality. But what I will claim today is that if we allow Jesus the freedom to be dangerous enough that our own small perceptions and projections get stretched and shifted, dangerous enough that our own government and religious officials might conspire to kill Jesus and us if we truly follow them, then we may just have a little hope yet. The danger Jesus brings comes in an unlikely form, a laughable form for those committed to the dominant culture. Jesus is dangerous precisely through his love and compassion. The domination system doesn't have a clue what to do with that, and is truly helpless in his way. Reuben writes this. Quite clearly, the one thing the dominant culture cannot tolerate or co-opt is compassion, the ability to stand in solidarity with the victims of the present order. It can manage charity and good intentions. But has no way to resist real solidarity, pain, and grief. The imperial consciousness, right, lives by its capacity to still the groans and to go on with business as usual as though none were hurting and there were no groans. If the groans become audible, if they can be heard in the streets and in the markets and in the courts, then the consciousness of domination is already jeopardized. Newman comes precisely from expressed pain. Suffering made audible and visible produces hope. The history of Jesus is the history of entering into the pain and giving it voice. Today, Jesus enters the gates of Jerusalem, enters the gates of Washington, enters the pain of those who suffer, and gives that pain a voice. Speaks so loudly that we can not really miss the point if we have any ears at all. And since Christ has no body on earth now but yours and mine, it's now our bodies that must march, and our hands that must be extended in care, and our voices that must rise, and our lives that must be lived in solidarity and in a true commitment to Him. Compassion is dangerous, even deadly. But Jesus shows us through the events of this week how to proceed with courage, with trust in God, with self-giving, sacrificial love, and with abiding hope in the new life ministry mission that would be beyond these walls.